A growing number of companies are providing paid leave, but they're high-end companies. And for the vast majority of American women, their companies aren't going to do it. The government has to say, we are a society that values reproduction, and we are going to ensure that you can reproduce without losing your job or losing your pay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to episode number 71. As you probably guessed from the introduction, in today's episode, we'll be talking about parental leave in the US. The audio from the snippet at the beginning was taken from the YouTube channel Vice Life in a video titled Maternity Leave and Why the United States is the Only Nation Without It. Maternity leave is a time period a mom takes away from work before or after the birth of a child. And paternity leave is the same thing, except for the father of the child. In this week's episode, we'll talk about the laws that do exist in the United States and how kind of different states deal with this particular topic. I'll also be sure to touch on why the US hasn't followed in other countries' footsteps. I know it's a little bit more of a serious topic, a little bit more political. But I love that it gives insight into how politics works in the United States. Of course, building families and taking care of them are definitely part of culture. And so I figured, why not have this be the fun fact for today? Before we get to that, though, I'd like to go through a joke, an expression, and some pronunciation exercises. I have a joke here, but it's actually a one-liner. So the other day, I went to the doctor and he called me fat. I told him I wanted a second opinion and he said, okay, you're ugly too. I'm just kidding. That really didn't happen, but it's kind of a funny joke. Usually when we aren't 100% sure that we trust one individual, we say that we're going to get a second opinion. It's especially common to use after a doctor gives a diagnosis. In this case, the doctor took that to mean another opinion from him, which is just kind of funny. Let's hear it one more time. So the other day I went to the doctor and he called me fat. I told him I wanted a second opinion and he said, okay, you're ugly too. All right, that's it for the joke. You can definitely put that one into conversation and kind of surprise people. I'm sure it probably works in most languages. So today we'll be going through the expression through thick and thin. And before we get to the uses of it, let's go through the individual words. Through is a preposition. In this expression, we use through to express that something occurs from the beginning until the end. We manage to sit through the whole lecture without falling asleep, right? So we didn't fall asleep at the beginning, not in the middle of it, and not near the end of it. We didn't fall asleep at any point during it. Thick is an adjective, and it can mean heavy, bulky, or dense. Something with depth is thick. We use it to describe a wide variety of things. For example, a person with a heavy accent, we say has a thick accent. A person who wants to stay warm in wintertime might wear a thick sweater. Someone who has a lot of hair, we say has thick hair. It's the opposite of thin, skinny, or sparse. And is a conjunction, and it means as well as or in addition to, furthermore or moreover. So I love peanut butter and Nutella. I love them both. Thin is an adjective and it means narrow or skinny. We might have a thin slice of toast in the morning. If we have thin slices of toast every day, we actually might get thin, right? So we'll lose weight, we will be skinny. The expression through thick or thin means to endure or continue when a situation is difficult. This expression's origin dates back to the Canterbury Tales, which were written by Geoffrey Chaucer between 1397 and 1400. There, he wrote, and this is kind of a modern translation of what he originally wrote, "And when the horse was loose, he begins to go toward the fen where wild mares run, and forth with wee-hee through thick and through thin." So the literal meaning of the expression originally referred to thick and thin parts of a forest. Areas of forest covered in trees and vegetation are considered thick and by nature are difficult to cross. There may be obstacles along the way as well. Other areas of a forest are thin. There are not as many trees. They have sparse vegetation and are easy to pass through. So someone who sticks with you through thick and thin is willing to be there for the difficult times as well as the easy ones. That's the definition. Let's go through some more examples to show how we use this expression in everyday life. Example number one, imagine that your significant other gets into a car accident. When the doctor comes in, he says it's going to take weeks or even months of physical therapy to regain physical strength. In that tough situation, you know, the person's probably not feeling so great. They're not so happy. And you can make them feel better by saying, "Hey, don't worry. I'm here for you through thick and thin." In other words, I'm going to be by your side through the good times and the bad times. I'll be by your side when it's easy and when it's difficult. I'm here for you through thick and thin. Example number two, and this one is a personal example. I used this expression actually in my wedding vows to my husband. Vows are promises that you read when you're at the altar in your wedding. So I said, "Lucas, I will stick by your side through thick and thin. And when we're thick and thin, laugh with you every chance I get and cheer you up when you're sad." All right, so that's just part of it, but you get the point. In other words, I will stay by your side when things are difficult and when things are easy. We're going to get through life's obstacles together. And of course, I made the joke that when we're thick and thin, right? So when we're fat and skinny. Example number three, imagine that you're in high school and your good friend made a very poor decision. He or she decided to cheat on the SATs. The SAT is a standardized test that most high school students in the US take in order to get into college. Some people also take the ACT. He or she is so angry and upset and is also very worried that they might not be able to get into college at all. You tell them, you know, "I'll stick by your side through thick and thin," right? Whatever happens with you in this situation, I'll be there for you. So let's move on to the pronunciation exercises. We'll start with the statement, "He stuck with me through thick and thin." Repeat after me. He stuck. He stuck with me. He stuck with me through. He stuck with me through thick and thin. He stuck with me through thick and thin. And the conjugation. Repeat after me. I'll be there through thick and thin. You'll be there through thick and thin. She'll be there through thick and thin. He'll be there through thick and thin. It'll be there through thick and thin. We'll be there through thick and thin. They'll be there through thick and thin. I wrote this down and I didn't realize how difficult this might be as a pronunciation exercise until now. The TH sound is challenging for many non-native speakers. And if you struggle with creating it, I do recommend looking into a mirror while you read these sentences out loud. Your tongue should actually be visible when you're saying the TH sound. Through, thick, thin, right? This is a different sound than there. There is also TH, but there's a vibration in it, so we call it a voiced TH. But you should also see your tongue. So if you're creating the sound and you do not see your tongue, then you're likely creating a D. I do have a very complete and thorough exercise for this inside the American English Pronunciation course available from the classroom if you're interested. So anyway, I love this pronunciation exercise today. Also for another reason, I intentionally used the contracted forms of will with all the pronouns. Let me read through each of these contracted forms slowly. I'll, you'll, she'll, he'll, it'll, we'll, they'll. I'll may be pronounced aisle, like an aisle in a supermarket, A-I-S-L-E, or all. I'll be there later today. All. It sounds like A-L-L. I switch it up personally, and I think a lot of Americans do as well. For the rest of these, you'll need to hit what's called a dark L. If you struggle with the sound, check out the episode webpage. I've added a specific link with exercises and audio specifically on the light versus dark L. So let's begin the topic of the day. In the United States, as a nation, there is no such thing as paid parental leave. In fact, it's one of only 8 nations without paid parental leave in the world and the only industrialized nation without it. Parental leave, or family leave, is the period of time parents take away from work shortly before and after the birth of a child. In some places, you can also get parental leave after adopting a child or beginning foster care. In English, an expecting mother may say, "I'm going on maternity leave." If you're the father, you might say, "I'm going on paternity leave." Usually, while on maternity leave or on paternity leave, an individual has job security. They can rest assured that they'll be able to return to the workplace after their leave is over. In other words, when the designated time period they're allotted is up. The time period, of course, for temporary leave of absence varies drastically from country to country. The WHO, the World Health Organization, recommends that countries offer at least 16 weeks. Bulgaria, for example, has 58.6 weeks of maternity leave. 45.9 of those are with full pay. The US's northern neighbor, Canada, gives new mothers 17 weeks off at 48.4% of their pay. So what's going on with the US? Why is it that the US hasn't followed in the footsteps of other countries in the world? To understand the situation better, let's take a look at history and events since World War II. When American men went off to World War II, many women began working in factories and in offices. Such a change was unprecedented. For many women, it was the first time they had entered the formal workforce and the first time receiving regular paychecks. So they were stoked. They were really excited. After the war ended, many of these women wanted to stick around. That's the first time that employers were faced with a dilemma. What should we do if these women get pregnant? The answer was fairly simple for most employers. Until the 1970s, women who were found to be pregnant would either lose their jobs or they would not be hired back after they had fully recovered from childbirth. In a way, these new moms felt powerless and forced into the role of stay-at-home moms. Those who sought after an opportunity to have a family and a career realized it was a distant dream, or only a dream for men. To say that this affected a lot of families after World War II is an understatement. After the war, there was a baby boom. A baby boom is when the number of births in a country increases drastically. From 1946 until 1964, the population of the U.S. increased like never before in history. In the 1950s alone, 50 million new babies were born. That means lots of pregnant women and all of them facing a similar issue. According to some scholars, from the get-go, there wasn't very much pressure to deal with this issue in the U.S. Unlike some European countries that had lost a lot of men at war and needed to keep women in the workforce, U.S. companies felt like they could replace those women who got pregnant. When women's rights movements gained momentum around the world in the early 70s, men and women in the U.S. also protested. They took the streets. Groups fought for change, and the first mini-win was granted by the U.S. Equal Employment Organization, enabling women to tap into benefits given traditionally to people with temporary illnesses or with disability. In 1978, the Pregnancy Discrimination Act went into place after a Supreme Court case. Apparently, a woman was fired after not willing to lift a 70-pound package for the U.S. Parcel Service. Her doctor had told her that she could only lift 20 pounds. While around the world, countries made laws about parental leave, attempts were also made in the U.S. to have a national program, but they were unsuccessful due to party disagreements about language within the bills. Gridlock or stalemates occurred between the two main parties within the U.S., the Republicans and the Democrats. With an inability to come to an agreement, parental leave was really left up to each individual state. If you're not familiar with U.S. politics, this often happens with the most controversial issues. When a bipartisan solution can't be met at a national level, individual states make their own laws. For example, since there are such differing opinions on topics like legalization of marijuana, prostitution, corporal punishment in schools, states have their own laws about them. If you don't like the stance of your state on a particular issue, you can deal with it or simply move to a state where you agree with the state's laws. Same goes for parental leave. Many U.S. states started implementing their own laws. One piece of legislation that was passed from the federal government was passed in 1993 by President Clinton, and it was called the Family and Medical Leave Act, which is the main form of legislation governing parental leave today. It states that individuals can take 12 weeks of unpaid time away from work to care for a new infant. The big catch is that the requirement only applies to people who work in companies with over 50 employees and people who have worked there for a total of 12 months. In effect, 41% of Americans are not guaranteed unpaid leave under national law. Furthermore, those who are covered need to have sufficient funding to survive those 12 weeks without pay. If you're not covered by the national law, there are still ways to get parental leave in the U.S. It actually takes a little bit of research if you are in the U.S. and want to get it. First is with a company. Oftentimes, very successful companies in the U.S. will offer parental leave in their benefits package. According to Time.com, Silicon Valley in California, where you'll find the headquarters of tech giants like Google and Facebook, have, quote, led the way in this. For example, the company Etsy offers 26 weeks at full pay. At Google, it's 22 to 24 weeks for moms and 12 weeks for the parent who didn't give birth. In reality, though, as of 2016, only 14% of companies offered parental leave as a benefit to their employees. The second option is to look at one state to see if they have their own laws governing parental leave. So even if someone doesn't work in a hotshot company or at a company that has over 50 employees to fall under that national government law, there's still a way to get it. As of recently, about 18 states offer a better form of parental leave than what the federal government promises. Just as an example, in 2020, in the state of Washington, under the Paid Family Leave Program, new parents get 16 weeks of full pay. In California, both a new mother and father can take 12 weeks off for parental leave and 8 weeks of pay at 60 to 70% of their salary. A new mother can also get another 10 to 12 weeks under pregnancy disability leave. In the past few years, more and more states have been increasing the time frame and the pay for new parents. As of 2017, a study by Pew indicated that 82% of Americans support federally mandated leave for mothers after birth or adoption. In fact, in 2019, President Trump passed paid leave for 2.1 million federal employees. And although the decision was not supported by every policymaker, it was applauded by most. It was the first time in history that a Republican president pushed a policy on paid leave. His daughter Ivanka Trump said afterwards, quote, "It's very hard for people to say, well, employers should provide this benefit if we are unwilling to provide it ourselves. So you have to lead by example," she said. So what's happening now? Lawmakers from the Democratic and Republican parties have drafted policies to create a national paid parental leave. The one main issue, according to Time, is trying to figure out where the money for paid family leave will come from. Should it be 0.2% payroll tax on both employees and employers, as suggested by Gillibrand, a Democrat senator, or, quote, delaying or reducing a parent's Social Security checks down the road, unquote, as suggested by Republican senators? Either way, it's still being discussed. In the meantime, if you're living in the United States or trying to get a job here, be aware that there are ways to get paid parental leave or even unpaid leave. You first need to check your company's benefit program and then state laws. If neither of those work, you can hope to fall back on the FMLA laws, the Family and Medical Leave Act, to get those 12 weeks of unpaid leave. Hope you enjoyed that brief overview of parental leave in the U.S. Interestingly, this topic is not as controversial as it once was. Of course, there are many policymakers who still do not support paid parental leave and believe that it's a decision that should remain a choice between employers and employees. For most countries and lawmakers in the U.S., though, it's thought of as a citizen's right because it gives all parents, regardless of their financial situation, a chance to bond with a newborn and permits mothers to recuperate from childbirth. I'm aware that many women are forced to go back to work shortly after giving birth, and it's a real struggle across the U.S. I have known a lot of people who have put off having children because they're not able to take time off of work or because it would be too much of a financial burden. And it's really tricky. Personally, I can't imagine not spending time with a newborn shortly after its birth. I'm just very grateful that that's not my personal reality. Just to give you guys a heads up, I'm about to give birth. By the looks of my massive midsection, I probably should have given birth about 3 weeks ago. But yeah, little Clara is still in there. I don't think I mentioned her name before, but her name is Clara. And when she does decide to come out, I hope to continue posting podcasts weekly, but there might be short pauses here and there as we settle into our new life. Every week, though, for sure, there will be new content within the classroom. So if you would like to have new material weekly within the next 2 months, be sure to sign up to the classroom at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. In any case, hope you're having a nice day, and until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.